Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lady Boss with your Real Talk here Wednesdays 3 p.m. Sorry we're starting so late. We had a little collision time. We're going to kick off back with the regular show. Last week we did it a little differently when I had a guest speaker, my dad, Papa B. This week we're going back to our four segments, our trends, our sexuality, a relationship. It's actually going to be a commitment segment today. And a little sports section at the end. So, we're going to start off with trends. Every year now, after we all know Halloween just passed, every year we hear about people who choose to wear inappropriate Halloween costumes, okay, whether it be the girls wearing as little as slutty clothing as possible or guys dressing up in ridiculous outfits. So, for some reason, 2013 seems to be topping all other years as far as offensive costumes are concerned. You may have heard the fury over costumes representing Trayvon Martin and Boston Marathon bombing victims, as well as criticism of celebrities like Julianne Hough for wearing blackface for her Orange is the New Black attire. Now, photos of two girls in the United Kingdom are causing even more outrage. These two girls chose to dress up, if you can believe it, as the Twin Towers Burning, complete with fiery explosion accessories and American flags. University of Chester students Amber Langford and Annie Colling, both 19 years old, wore the matching costumes, one labeled South Tower, the other North Tower. They went to a party at Rosie's Nightclub in Chester. Langford's father, Martin, is even a pilot. As if all that wasn't enough, the club awarded the girls best dressed for their costumes, winning them a cash prize. This is ridiculous. The pair released a statement saying, "We never meant to be offensive, but we apologize if any offense was caused. The idea was to depict a modern-day horror that happened in our lifetime and was not intended as a joke." As you can imagine, families of 9/11 victims are among those disgusted with those costumes. Patricia Bingley, who lost her 43-year-old son, Kevin Dennis, in the attacks, said, "This is unbelievable. 9/11 happened in their lifetime. It's hard to understand where they've come from to do this without a thought for those who died or the families left behind." Sorry about that. I totally forgot about the music. The offensive outfits bring up the question of costume regulation. The University of Colorado Boulder has banned costumes that portray racial and cultural stereotypes, including blackface makeup, because of this. That's just sad that people would even go to that extent, take that so lightly. As for other trending news, looking around at all the technology that surrounds us, it's hard not to think that the future some imagined decades ago is finally here. We are wireless, automated, and connected in ways that we have never been before and that have never been possible. But many on the internet still have one nagging complaint. We were promised flying cars. They're popular in science fiction stories, but the creator of the Aeromobile wants to make it a reality. The Slovakian company's prototype, Aeromobile 2.5, really works. On the road, it can do 99 miles per hour. If you're in a rush, though, or you just want some altitude, you can extend wings out of it, and once you hit 90 miles per hour, take off into the sky, reaching top speeds of 123 miles. With a full tank of gas, the car can even fly for 430 miles. That's crazy. I can't even believe it's here. I can't wait to get one of my own. This vehicle debuted at Aerotech and Air Show in Montreal. It immediately got attention from those fantasizing about being the morning rush by beating the morning rush by cruising over the bottlenecks. Alas, though, there are no plans to mass produce the 2.5, owing to legal and practical problems with adding hundreds of thousands of flying cars into the sky. In other trending news, rumors have been swirling for months that things are less than peachy between Will Smith and his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. And new photos published by Star Magazine are adding fuel to this fire. The images taken in a photo booth show Will cozying up to his Focus co-star, Margaret Robbie, a 23-year-old blonde beauty who can be seen lifting her shirt in one picture while Will pushes his bare chest against her back. In other pictures, Will is shown wrapping his arms around Robbie and holding her closely. A source with knowledge of the situation told Fox 11 the images were taken shortly after the co-stars wrapped a filming session and that there is 100% no truth to rumors of a romance between Robbie and Will. The megastar is known for his silly antics, but witnesses at the New Orleans event told Star the behavior with Robbie didn't seem innocent. They were hanging all over each other, laughing like they were a new couple in love, a source claimed. He wasn't acting like a married man. He gave no signs that he was in a committed relationship. Still, the source assured us that there was no romance brewing between the two. Meanwhile, Jada was reportedly in Baltimore for a speaking engagement. Jada and Will have repeatedly denied reports that there's trouble in paradise, even after Jada accidentally implied that they had an open relationship a few months back. Jada told HuffPost Live in April that the media assumes they have an open relationship because Will and I are very relaxed with one another. But I've always told Will, you can do whatever you want as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and be okay. Will and Jada met in 1990 on the set of his hit series, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They married in 1997 and had two children together, Jaden, 15, and Willow, 13. On Sunday, well before the issue of Star hit newsstands, Jada posted a cryptic message about mistakes on her Facebook page. We should never have expectations to not make mistakes. We should only have the expectation to learn from them, she wrote. That's it for celebrity news. As for new LGBT news, hitting hard. All right. Most supporters of a bill aimed at banning LGBT discrimination in employment appeared uninterested in fighting an effort backed by several Senate Republicans to ensure that religious-affiliated entities exempted from the bill are not penalized by governments for utilizing the exemption. In the day after the Senate invoked clutter on the legislation, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act focused turned to the religious exemption in the bill. Efforts to amend it when the full Senate considers the bill as soon as Wednesday. A state aide said the Republicans' amendment ensures that the government cannot penalize a religious employer because it qualifies as exempt from the non-discrimination requirement of ENDA. The amendment, which also includes a provision making explicit that the purpose of the ENDA includes respect for religious liberty, it is being authored by Senate Rob Portman and is co-sponsored by Kelly Ayotte, Dean Heller, Orrin Hatch, and John McCain. On Monday evening, the Senate's lead sponsor of the bill, Senate Jeffrey Merkley, said he would be backing the amendment. Officials with the Human Rights Campaign, American Civil Liberties Union, and Freedom to Work all said they believe it was an unnecessary provision. But none said they were actively opposing it, and HRC made its lack of opposition explicit. HRC believes this language is unnecessary but does not oppose it. We believe this merely restates the status quo for religious employers, HRC Vice President for Communications Fred Sains told BuzzFeed. The ACLU, which has been one of the key organizations on the left opposed to the bill's religious exemption, was less happy with the provision. Dana Schur, legislative counsel for the ACLU, told BuzzFeed that the amendment is unnecessary because the group believes the exemption is already so broad. Additionally, though, she added that the Republicans' amendment would be unprecedented in federal and state laws that protect against employment discrimination. Tegal Media, the president of Freedom to Work, echoed the other advocates, simply telling BuzzFeed that the provision is unnecessary. The ACLU and some other advocates have criticized the bill since its introduction for its base religious exemption, saying they had very grave concern about the impact the exemption would have if implemented into law. Earlier this year, Lambada legal attorney Greg Nevins, who was litigated workplace discrimination cases on behalf of LGBT people, explained the religious exemption, saying in title of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there's an exemption for certain religious affiliated entities that says they can basically engage in religious discrimination, but they cannot engage in race, color, sex, or national origin discrimination. So what we're basically being told right now is that this law is saying we have not yet had the separation between church and state. It's basically what we're being told, and what needs to happen in order for the LGBT to have their equality. We're about to take a quick break, and when we get back, I'll have some more LGBT for you. I'm gonna talk about a new sexuality that most people haven't heard about, probably. It's called asexuality. So tune in after the break for that. And you're listening to Real Talk on radio.dominican.edu.
It's your anniversary, is near, and your man ain't acting right. So you packing your dummy air luggage up, calling my cell phone, trying to catch a flight. You know one thing straight, I'll be there, girl, whenever you call me. When you at home, that's your man. Soon as you land, you say it's all me. Cause shit ain't all G with him no more, you ain't entertained. Since I met you a couple months ago, you ain't been the same. Not saying I'm the richest man alive, but I'm in the game. As long as you keep it 100, I'ma spin this chain. Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. Cause they don't know me, I can be your best friend. And you be my homie, I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. If I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up.
I try to stay out your business, but on the rear, you're so obvious. And if you keep fitting me in your plans of fucking up, your man's gonna catch on to us. That white sand surrounding us, he be handcuffing, he should work for them officers. If you rollin', I got a spot where I could put you on this medical and send you home doctored up. You wanna rival me cause you say that he boring. Wake up, you rollin' weed, cookin' eggs in the morning. Ain't scared to spend this money, I know I'll make more of it. First you was in the sky, now you say
whenever
you in orbit.
Whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. Cause they don't know me, I could be your best friend. My homie, I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. No matter where I am, no matter where you are, I'll be there when it's over. I was there from the start. Don't matter if I'm near, don't matter if you're far. All you do is pick the phone up, lady, and I'll be there when you
whenever
call.
You need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. Cause they don't know me, I could be your best friend. And you be my homie,
I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. Cause they don't know me, I could be your best friend. And you be my homie, I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby.
Hey y'all, this is Lady Boss back with your real talk. Today, our sexuality segment is going to be on asexuality. Okay, a lot of people don't know what this is or even that it existed. Okay, I want to let people know, I want to inform people there are other sexualities besides just the LGBT community. Okay, that's the lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender. I've already covered those, and now we're going to get a little deeper into it and talk about some of the ones that most people don't know about. And even though you didn't know about them, didn't know they exist, they are still out there and they still need to be recognized. So we're going to start off with what an asexual person is. Okay, an asexual is someone who does not experience sexual attraction. Unlike celibacy, though, this which people choose, asexuality is an intrinsic part of who someone is. Asexuality does not make lives any worse or any better. It's just they face different set of challenges than most sexual people. There is considerable diversity among the asexual community, though. Each asexual person experiences things like relationships, attraction, and arousal somewhat differently. There really is no defined line for it. Asexuality is just beginning to be the subject of scientific research. We're going to go into different topics on asexuality, and I want to start with relationships. So asexual people have the same emotional needs as anyone else, and like in the sexual community, we vary widely in how we fulfill those needs. Some asexual people are happier on their own, and others are happiest with a group of close friends. Other asexual people have a desire to form more intimate relationships, though, and they'll date and seek long-term partnerships. They are just as likely to date sexual people as we are to date each other. Sexual or non-sexual, though, all relationships are made up of the same basic things. Communication, closeness, fun, humor, excitement, and trust all happen just as much in sexual relationships as in non-sexual ones. Unlike sexual people, asexual people are given few expectations about the way that their intimate relationships will work. They have to figure out how to flirt and to be intimate or to be monogamous in non-sexual relationships can be challenging. But free of expectations, we can form relationships in ways that are grounded in their individual needs and desires. As for attraction, many asexual people experience attraction but feel no need to act out on it and no need to act sexually on it, actually. Instead, they feel the desire to get to know someone or to get close to them in whatever way that works best for them. Asexuals are people who experience attraction. They'll often be attracted to a particular gender and will identify as lesbian, gay, bi, or straight. As for arousal, some sexual arousal is a fairly regular occurrence, but it's not associated with a desire to find a sexual partner or partners. That's like the main thing about asexuals. They have no desire to have sex. And some will occasionally masturbate but feel no desire for partnered sexuality. That's the difference. It's not that they can't get turned on or be aroused. It's that they find no desire to have it with another person. Other asexual people experience little or no arousal, but that's because they don't care about sex. And asexual people generally do not see a lack of sexual arousal as a problem to be corrected. They focus their energy on enjoying the types of arousal and pleasure. Okay, side note. People don't need sexual arousal to be healthy, but in a minority of cases, a lack of arousal can be the symptom of a more serious mental condition. If you don't experience sexual arousal, or if you suddenly lose interest in sex, you don't really have to consider yourself asexual. You might want to probably check with a doctor just to be safe. As for asexual identity, just as people will rarely and unexpectedly go from being straight to gay, asexual people will rarely and unexpectedly become sexual or vice versa. It's not saying that they can't or they won't. It's just a choice that is it's an unexpected choice. Another small minority will think of themselves as asexual for a brief period of time while just exploring or questioning their own sexuality. There's no litmus test to determine if someone is asexual. Asexuality, like any other identity, at its core, is just a word that people use to help figure themselves out. If at any point someone finds the word asexual useful to describe themselves, we encourage them to use it as long as it makes sense to do so. There are different types of asexual people. The first, a sex-positive asexual person, can conceptualize and sometimes act in a sexual manner towards others. They can tolerate and may even enjoy the sexual attractions and behavior of others. A sex-repulsed asexual person can be indifferent to or even actively terrified of sex. They will not enjoy the sexual attentions or behaviors of others and can be deeply put off by even the hypothetical possibility of having sex. Now, it's important to note that demisexual people are gray aces. Asexual people who can experience a degree of sexual attraction. These people can be either sex positive or sex repulsed. They're not necessarily any more likely to come from one camp or the other, though. So, altogether, asexual is a sexual orientation. It's not a sexual behavior. Celibacy is a sexual behavior, and that's a choice. Asexuality is said to not be. Many people get confused on this point, despite how simple it is. An asexual person can have sex. They can enjoy having sex also, but that doesn't make them any more or less asexual. Sexual behavior like celibacy is how a person acts sexually and is a choice. Sexual orientation is how an individual personally identifies and isn't contingent upon any action they may or may not take. On that note, asexual is a label that your character, regardless of their true sexual orientation, may or may not be willing to use. As a sexual orientation, that has only recently begun to receive attention from the LGBT community and other communities. Asexual people still face a large amount of discrimination and controversy over how their sexual orientation operates. Unlike strictly LGBT people, who often have to fear being physically intimidated or publicly denounced, one of the greatest slights dealt to aces, that's slang for asexual, they call them aces, dealt to aces is the prevailing ideology that people of their sexual orientation do not even exist. This isn't just something that makes people reluctant to identify as asexual, it's something that makes it hard for people even to realize if they are asexual. Your character may persist, as many unidentified asexual people do, in the idea that they just haven't met that one person yet who will spark their interest. And I know a lot of people tell asexuals that, oh, that's the reason, you just haven't tried it or you haven't found the right person. But really, if you ask an asexual, they're like, no, I'm not attracted to sex. I don't need sex and I don't want it. And that's why they identify as asexual. But like I just talked about, you can be sexually active with being an asexual. So that's that. That's our sexuality segment for the week. I hope you guys all learned something new. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Real Talk with Lady Boss. We'll be back after the break.
I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care, we're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care, we aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. Royals. It's a run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Friends in the eye, we've cracked the code.
we count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Fly guy, and
and I fly high. Wanna know why? Why fly by? But yo, it's all good. Range Rover all wood. Do me like you should. We good, keep me good. We be no studs. Wishing you was popping like we drug dealers, sipping crispy bud macking. Honey in the club, me in the Benz, icy crisp, telling me to leave with you and your friends. So if shorty wanna knock, we knocking the diss. And if shorty wanna rock, we rocking the diss. And if shorty wanna pop, we popping the crisp. Shorty wanna see the ice, then I ice the wrist. City talk, Nelly listen, Nelly talk, city listen. Wanna fly, when I walk, pay attention, see the ice in the diss. Stir, know they diss, honey's look, know they wish. Come on, boo, give me a kiss, come on.
If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we dream.
Hey, 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 this is Lady Boss back with your real talk. So today on our third segment, we're going to be talking about commitment. We usually talk about relationships, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit because lately I have been told that I have commitment issues. And at first I got defensive. I was like, excuse me, what are you talking about? I am great with commitment. I have committed to so many things you don't even understand. And I'm great at everything. I don't know what you're talking about. And I had a big head about it. And then I started thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I really do have commitment issues. It started with my basketball team. So we were all in a group class. We have these leadership classes. And we were sitting there. And our coach asks us a question every week during this class. And it's usually like an insightful question. You have to think about it and respond to it. And so the question was, are you committed to this team? And so everybody's going around giving their answers, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm like, well, yeah, of course I'm committed to this team. I show up to practice every day. I try to get my extra work in. I'm making effort to build relationships with all my teammates. And then after that question, she asks us, well, what does commitment mean to you? And when that came up, I started thinking, well, you know what? I don't really know what my definition of commitment means, because to me, like, the only thing I really commit to is basketball, and it shouldn't be like that. And I started thinking about what else I'm committed to, but I just couldn't think of anything. I'm not committed to anything, you know? My relationships, I'm not very committed to, because I'm like, my friendships back home. I have friends back home. I'm from LA and I'm up here in NorCal, and I don't even really try to keep in touch with my, some of my best friends back home. I'm just letting my relationship slide because I'm just not committed to them. And like, it's not that I'm not committed to them, but it's also part of the reason that I understand they're my best friend. They're still going to be there when I get back and we have that type of relationship. But I feel like I should have more of a commitment to keep that relationship going and to keep in contact. And I just don't. And then I also started thinking about, well, what else should I be committed to, when I started thinking about that? And I should be committed to more schoolwork. Like, I started thinking about school and I decided, oh my gosh, I'm not very committed to schoolwork either. Like, I procrastinate to the last minute. Like, I'm not trying to get any extra credit in. I'm committed to getting by is what I'm committed to, and that's not good. And I was really just thinking about what commitment means to me and what it should mean and what it means to other people. And so I was thinking about it, and I decided that commitment to me means that you should be passionate about things that you need to be invested in, or things that you are invested in, you need to be passionate about. And that's really a commitment, when you're passionate about something that you put your whole heart into it. And I realized, you know what? Yeah, I am committed to basketball, because when my coach asked me that, at first I was like, you know what? No, I'm not very committed. And then when I realized it, basketball really is the only thing that I'm committed to. And that's because I put in all the hours a week. I do extra time, I get extra shots up in the gym, and you know, I'm really committed to improving my game and to being the best on the court. And I didn't see that at first. I saw, no, you know, I'm not committed to basketball. Like, I love the game, and yeah, I'm passionate about it. And then I realized, well, that is a commitment, because I am so passionate about it. And then I realized my commitments went wrong in the other areas of my life where I should be more committed. And I started thinking about relationships from that point on, and how I'm not very committed in my relationships, and that's where I need to improve, because I was looking at my past relationship and seeing, you know what, I wasn't committed as I should have been, and it probably would have gone a lot better if I were more committed to just not even to that person in like a negative way, but committed to keeping the relationship going and keeping it lively, and committed to making her happy and bringing just little things into the relationship that needed to be brought in. And that's what I realized, that I wasn't very passionate about the relationship. And if you're not committed to something and you're not passionate about it, it's never going to work out. So it's just, there's no point in that. And leading on to that, I mean, I talked about last or 2 weeks ago, my last segment, we did relationships, about how new relationships are always the most fun, because, you know, they're exciting and they're just fun to be in, and you're learning all new things about someone. And I realized that's because with new relationships, you are so much more committed, because you're trying to get to know someone and you're trying to learn new things and you're really invested in it. And I realized that recently, because I have jumped into, well, I'm not in a relationship yet, but I've basically jumped into a new relationship, and I realized how much more committed I am now than I was in my past relationship. Because when I can tell even throughout the day, like we text and I'm committed to texting her back right away. And with my old relationship, I'd get a text or a call and I'd be laying down or taking a nap, and I'd be like, oh, I'll just call her back when I'm done. You know, it's all right, whatever. And I wasn't very committed, and I wasn't committed to the things I should have been. But now with this new relationship, it's a totally different story. I'm totally committed to taking her out every day and making sure she's happy and texting her back all the time and making sure she's like eaten, and just the littlest things that you're committed to in these relationships. And it makes everything so much more interesting and so much more fun. And when you're really passionate about something, that's what makes it work out. So when you're trying to get into a new relationship, this is my advice for the week. When you're trying to get into a new relationship, if you're not going to be committed to it, don't do it at all. Don't even try. You know, from the very beginning, if you're not ready for someone to be everything, to make someone your one commitment, then there's no point in doing it at all. If you're trying to play the field, or if you're going to be a player and you're going to be trying to hook up with a bunch of different people, you're obviously not committed. So don't even try to tell one person, you know what, yeah, I would be with you, because I recently had that argument too with this new relationship that I'm getting into, is that I'm a very big flirt. And she sees that sometimes. So when I'm around certain people, she gets mad already. And I'm like, well, why are you even mad? What are you worrying about? Like, I'm obviously committed to you. And she's like, no, like, this completely shuts your point down, because you just did this. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even notice. Like, I guess I'm really not that committed. But, you know, you have to change your ways, and you have to flip what you do around, and have to really pay attention to what you're doing. And that's part of being committed. You're paying attention, and that's how your relationship is going to work, and that's how it's going to last. So that's my relationship advice for the week. Stay committed. And if you're not going to stay committed, get out. Don't try. It's not worth it. Anyway, this is Lady Boss on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back after the break with our last segment, and that'll be our DU Sports. Thanks for listening.
Hey, when I give you these keys, homeboy, don't move my car, man. I'm right in the front, you dig? Don't move my shit, man. Ho, baby, what's your name?
Go, girl. It's your birthday. Thursday, 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 and we don't buy no drinks at the bar, pop champagne cause we got that dough, let me hear you say ah, if you wanna say ah, pocket full of money.
bottles of that rosé. Smiling like Dolce and Gabbana. Shout out to you, the baddest, and to meet you is an honor. La mama, I got a table waiting. What you think about a convo? And if you like it, baby, we can take it to the condo. And if you like the condo, we can move the party to the bedroom. I'ma beat your body like a congo. Since we in the club for now, might as well get another round. I know this ain't nothing in your cup, so get here, baby, let me fill it up. Go girl, it's your birthday. Said her man be on that bullshit pimping. Well, I retire from the bull like Pippin. Tryna get you home or would you be Mark Simpson? Whip out front, we can leave like pronto. Maple leaf dash got you feeling like Toronto. Make your body rise like you're puffing on a joint though. Girl, that's only if you want though.
Ready?
But since we in the club for now, might as well get another round. I know this ain't nothing in your cup, so get here, baby, let me fill it up. Go girl.
Like I'm your doctor, all I prescribe is cranberry and vodka. Then I'm trying to kick it, play a little soccer, and bust a couple off. Block out, the Henny in your system. You start drunk texting and suddenly you miss him, or even wanna diss him. Then you call your girl like, what the hell you gave me? She like, don't blame me, you better do like Jamie. And blame it on the liquor, he works every time. Patron, you my know it's somebody's birthday. Well, where you? And I know you're thirsty, but don't know where your glass at.
Say it's your birthday.
Hold the wine.
I know you're thirsty.
Say I.
And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. We pop champagne, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say
I.
You want me say champagne, cause we got
no
that
hands,
dough.
Baby.
Let me hear you say if you want me say
it just makes it easier.
I'm back. This is Lady Boss with your real talk. Today I've got some DU sports for you. I usually do the NFL football matchups right now, but I'm gonna start with some DU sports because we had two seasons just end, our soccer seasons, and we'll talk about that a little bit right now. So, four players scored in double digits for the Dominican University of California. Oh, sorry. This is men's basketball, actually. Four players scored in double digits for the Dominican University of California's men's basketball team, but the Penguins were outmatched inside by Fresno State in a 91-67 exhibition loss at the Save Mart Center on Monday night. Dominican, despite boasting more size on its 2013 roster, was outmatched by the Division I bodies of Fresno State. In the first half alone, that resulted in 13 fouls by the Penguins and 13 of 17 free throw shooting for the Bulldogs. Meanwhile, Dominican reached the free throw line just twice in the first half. The Penguins were out-muscled 41-31 on the glass and outscored 52-36 in the paint, yet were able to force 10 Fresno State turnovers and reach the free throw line 20 times in the second half. Senior center Connor Haysbert led Dominican with 16 points. He was followed by Devin Goldston's 15 points on 6 of 12 shooting. Dominique Taplin added 12 points and a game-high 9 rebounds, and senior guard Miles Carrillo added 11 points. The Penguins jumped out to a 6-2 lead on 3 consecutive layups from Josh Ramirez, Haysbert, and Carrillo. Dominican went scoreless for the next 4 minutes, though, and the Bulldogs rattled off 14 straight points before Carl O'Haron stopped the bleeding with a 3-pointer. The Penguins were down by 8 at the 9-minute mark, but the Bulldogs pulled away late in the half. Fresno State guard Marvel Harris grabbed a rebound with a second left, turned and launched a half-court shot to beat the buzzer at halftime. That sent the Penguins into the locker room trailing 50-30. The Bulldogs extended the lead to as large as 30, 79-49 at the 8th-minute mark. The Penguins trimmed the lead to 21 under 2 minutes, thanks to a 5-point run on and one from Creo and a pair of free throws from Taplin, but that as close as the Penguins would get. Alan Hudson came off the bench for a game-high 21 points and 6 rebounds for the Bulldogs. Starting forward, Karachi Edo added 20 points and a team-high 8 rebounds. Starting guards Tyler Johnson and Harris added 17 and 16 points, respectively. The Penguins opened the season by hosting the PacWest CCAA Challenge at home in the Conlin Center on November 8th and 9th. The Penguins will play at 7:30 p.m. game each night, opening with Humboldt State on Friday, November 8th, followed by a tilt with Cal State East Bay on Saturday, November 9th. As for cross country, the 2013 Pacific West Conference Cross Country Championship, hosted by the Dominican University of California at Stafford Lake and Gosee Farm, showcased the conference's talented teams. The Penguins were able to showcase senior Justin Valdez, who earns PacWest second team honors with his top 10 finish. After missing out on all conference accolades in 2012, Valdez earned second team honors with his time of 27:16.9 of the 70 men's runners. Valdez finished 8th, narrowly missing first team honors. As a team, the Dominican men finished in 9th out of 11 teams with a total time of 2:36:50.31 for an average of 31:22.06. Senior Kevin So finished in 52nd place with a time of 30:21.4, followed by fellow senior John DeDontis, who crossed the finish line with a time of 30:31.3. Junior Austin Poyuda clocked in at 33:45.1, and sophomore Joseph Bayless, who appeared for the first time in 2013, ran a time of 34:55.6. The California Baptist men featured 3 of the top 4 runners and took home team honors with a time of 2:14:32.20 for an average of 26:54.44. The Lancers were led by Brighton Ream, who led the race with his time of 26.4. The junior was also named PacWest Newcomer of the Year. Dixie State freshman Nick Watson was named Pacific West Freshman of the Year with his 16th place finish. In the field of 84 women, Fiona McKenna powered her way up and down the hills to cruise into first place, 27 seconds better than the next runner, which a remarkable time of 17:16.1. McKenna was also named the PacWest Newcomer of the Year. The second through fourth runners were from Azusa Pacific, which took home the team championship with a time of 1:30:28.90 for an average of 18:05.78. California Baptist's Kim Rabenstein was the top finishing freshman in sixth place to earn PacWest Freshman of the Year honors. Fighting nagging injuries, the Dominican women completed the course in a time of 1:50:43.40 for an average time of 22:08.68. Senior Renee Dominguez, who had been sidelined by a shin fracture, fought through the pain to lead the Penguins in 55th place with a time of 20:43.3. Fellow senior Kendra Woodglass ran a time of 21:48.9. Freshman Katie Gomez finished in 69th place with a time of 22:14.7, followed by sophomore Amy Carrasco, who ran the course in 22:18.6. Senior Lauren Morris finished in 79th with a time of 23:36.5, and junior Nicole Long ran a time of 24:15.0. Having the whole Dominican community there to support the team was truly amazing, said Valdez. It will bring good momentum to regionals. This was the first course all season that was really hit by everybody, had the same challenges. Valdez will be Dominican's lone representative next week in Spokane, Washington at the NCAA Division II West Regional Cross Country Championships. Good job, David. Keep it up. The Dominican University of California women's soccer team closed out the 2013 season strong with a 2-0 victory over rival Notre Dame de Namur University on Saturday in Pacific West Conference play. The victory helped Dominican seal a perfect 3-0 conference mark against opponents in the Pacific West Bay area pod. Dominican beasted Holy Names University 2-0 and Academy of Art University 3-0, both back in early October. The Penguins outshot the Aragonauts, and it finally paid off in the 42nd minute. McKenna Kimball put the Penguins up with a header off the Stephanie Powett corner. Another 42 minutes passed by until the 85th minute when Kimball found Jessica Ramirez, whose shot from 30 yards out went over the keeper's head and found the back of the net. Kimball finishes the season with a team-leading 15 points as a result of 6 goals and 3 assists, both also team best. Goalkeeper Megan Herring notched a season-high 8th save of the season after stopping all 3 balls that came her way. The Penguins matched their win total from 2012 under first-year head coach Tara Koloski. Dominican graduates, 5 seniors, including 2 goalkeepers, in Herring and Kelly Calton, as well as starting midfielder Carrie Fryer and starting defenders Catherine Ripple and Caitlin Batista. As for volleyball, the Dominican University of California's women's volleyball team dropped the final match of its 3-game swing through Hawaii with a 3-0 loss to Hawaii Pacific University on Saturday night. The Sea Warriors opened the match with a 7-0 run, but the Penguins rallied back to take an 11-10 lead. The two teams traded points back and forth, which brought the set to 24-24. A kill by HPU's Haley Dofer gave the Sea Warriors set point back-to-back. Kills from Amanda Wasco and Hannah Stocking gave the Penguins set point. The home team rattled off the next 3 points, though, on kills by Mary Fuji, Casey Thompson, and Pamoy Reka to take the set 28-26. Set 2 was just as tightly contested, featuring 10 ties and a pair of lead changes. Dominican led 20-18 but couldn't close out the set. 3 consecutive errors handed the lead to the Sea Warriors, who scored 4 of the final 5 points to take a 2-0 lead with a 25-22 victory. 9 of the final 11 points scored by the Sea Warriors in the set came by way of Dominican errors. Dominican took a 5-4 lead in set 3, but the lead was short-lived. HPU rattled off 9 of the next 10 points to take a 13-6 lead. The Penguins would pull no closer than 5 points before falling 25-17. Dominican flashed some life to start the third set, taking a 5-4 lead. However, there would be no comeback. HPU scored 9 of the next 10 points to take control. At 14-8, Rebecca entered the match and promptly got a kill on her first swing to a thunderous ovation from the home crowd. BYU then turned the clock back to her outside hitter days as she put away 3 consecutive balls to the delight of the fans. Asunkian was also on the floor and gave HPU supporters something to remember her by as she had 2 acrobatic digs down the stretch. Wasco led all players with 12 kills, followed by 11 from Stocking. Kelsey Lardner had 32 assists and 10 digs, as well as a pair of service aces. Libero Amanda Lee led the Penguins with 11 digs. Poima Reka and Casey Thompson led HPU with 9 kills apiece. Amanda Morty led all players with 13 digs. Despite a tough road trip, the Penguins are still 7-3 in their last 10 matches. They return home to the Conlin Center on Thursday, November 7th, when they face Bay Area rival Notre Dame de Namur University. And for final news, me and my team, that's Lady Boss, we are going to be playing our first game against Chico State Saturday here at Conlin, 5:30 p.m., and we would love for all your supporters to come out and watch our game for us and cheer us on. that's really it for today's show. That has been your Real Talk with Lady Boss on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time.